John. Thank you all very much for kindly coming and taking part in this evening's program. Our focus is Krishna, because Krishna is everything. When we say Krishna, Krishna means everything and includes everything. Krishna and his energies. As the sun and the sunshine are all pervasive, Krishna and his energies of different kinds are everywhere. The earth, water, fire, air, ether, and subtly mind, intelligence, and ego are his material energies, the inferior energy, and the spirit soul is his superior energy, the living being. Ajiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yedam Taryate Jagat. We have no business in the material world, but having come here, we're struggling with the material body, material energy, Manastapshasthan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. Struggling with the mind and senses. So this struggle is going on and going on, but it can stop as soon as we become Krishna conscious, as soon as we revive our original position, that I am a servant of Krishna. Ishvara Paramakrishna. He is the supreme controller. We're tiny little controllers. We control something. But Krishna is the ultimate controller. Sarve Sheshvara. He is the controller of the controllers, and the controller of the controller of the controllers. All control belongs to Krishna, Ishvara Parama. And he controls everyone, and no one controls him. And Satchidananda Vigraha, his body is not like our temporary material body. Our body is temporary, has no consciousness of its own, and it's subject to so many miseries. Every inch of the body can make us miserable one way or another. But Krishna's body is Satchidananda Vigraha. It's eternal, it's blissful by its very nature, and it's pure consciousness. In us, there's a difference between the body and the self. The self is conscious and the body is mechanical. But Krishna, body and soul are the same. His form is completely transcendental. He has no origin, anadi, because he is the original. Adi and Govinda. He is the source of pleasure for the senses, for the land, and for the cows. He plays as a cowherd boy. That's his enjoyment. Govinda. He enjoys playing with the cows. Although he's the supreme controller, although he's the greatest of the great, his enjoyment is to live in the simple village of Vrindavan and herd the cows and play with the cowherd boys and exchange loving dealings with all the residents of Vrindavan. It appears that he's a simple boy, but he's more opulent even than Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. So the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is to revive our eternal loving relationship with Krishna and join Krishna in his pleasure pastimes to render service to Krishna in the spiritual world. So this is all possible by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has given us in the Kali Yuga this Sankirtan movement, Param Vidyate Shri Krishna Sankirtan, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This chanting will revive our Krishna consciousness. The chanting is Krishna. We're simply chanting Krishna, and by chanting Krishna, naturally, you think of Krishna, you become Krishna conscious. So this is our movement. Now we're Maya conscious, we're bodily conscious, we're national conscious or family conscious. But by chanting Hare Krishna, we become Krishna conscious, and our life becomes successful. So I think we're supposed to answer some questions. Yeah? You have some questions this evening? What's the first one?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is that how to overcome this boredom which comes in spiritual life over the years?
Overcome this
boredom. It gets boring after some years.
Boredom.
Oh.
It gets boring, huh?
Like the 16 rounds and reading the same, hearing the same story sometimes gets boring.
Maybe you need to find some adventure in your life. You can, if you take these same stories and try to present them to others, the same philosophy, and try to present it to others, then things start to get exciting. Actually, if we just try to keep it to ourselves, it gets boring. It gets boring. But when we try to spread it to others, then it gets exciting. That's a fact. The example given in Srimad Bhagavatam is that if you keep water in a cracked pot, it leaks out. And you know, you're trying to keep it, but it's seeping out, and soon you have nothing. So if we try to keep Krishna consciousness and don't try to spread Krishna consciousness, it will be like water in a cracked pot. You know, the pot will be empty. But if we try to spread Krishna consciousness, then it becomes anandam buddhivardhanam, overflowing. And then there's all sorts of excitement. Where would you like to go to spread Krishna consciousness? Maybe you could go to the Middle East. This is one cure for boredom. Try to spread Krishna consciousness in the Middle East or China or the former Soviet Union. There are so many places. Pakistan. Or even Bombay. The more we spread Krishna consciousness, the more we realize Krishna consciousness. It's not just that we're benefiting others by speaking about Krishna, but we benefit by speaking about Krishna. Is that all right? Good. Yes. Okay, the microphone is here.
Maharaj, the spirit soul is the superior energy of Krishna and Maya is the material energy is inferior. Mm-hmm. Then why is it so difficult to resist the temptations of Maya? Because we being the spirit soul, why is it so difficult to why are we being overcome by the inferior energy?
Because we've taken shelter of the material energy. Just like the, well, no, I won't give that example. Just like a woman is weaker than a man, But the man and woman get together, and the woman completely controls it. Right? Why? Because he's thinking that he gives his heart to the woman, and he's expecting all kinds of love and reciprocation and so on. So he becomes controlled. So, in a similar way, we're giving our heart to the material energy, and we're expecting every kind of happiness and pleasure, and so we're becoming controlled, although the material energy is inferior. Is that all right? Wherever the microphone goes, that's where the next question is.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, we know that comparing is the cancer of mind. But when we feel ourselves as a somewhat less other, rather than other, so at that time we get the negativity complex. So how to overcome all these negativity complex? But though we know all this, that it is cancer.
Especially with all the competition from the fans and the saws and everything, you need to go slower. And help me out. Just start again. It's something about inferiority complexes. I got that. But just go a little slower, and we have a lot of time. It's okay.
Well, we know that the comparing is like cancer.
Comparing the?
It's like a cancer of mind.
Cancer of mind.
Yeah. Hmm. So when we try to that, we should not do any type of comparison.
Should not do any type of comparison
with other in like in studies or whatever. So when we feel less rather than other in studies,
less
or in,
than
in, like behind rather than others.
I think I'm getting lost.
Then we get a negativity complex. So how to overcome all this negativity complex?
You're from South, right? Where are you from?
From Amravati, Maharashtra.
Maharashtra? Oh, okay. I just came from South, so everybody sounds like they're from the South. But question is, okay. It's not so good to compare with others, but in competition someone comes ahead and then you feel inferior to others. So how to get past such negative feelings in life? Well, if he defeated you, then he is superior. He came out ahead, so then he's superior, and we're inferior. So admit it. You know, we know it's supposed to be bad for us to ever admit that we're inferior to everyone. I'm the best. But actually, it's a fact. You know, he pulled out ahead of me in the course. So he's superior. Well, that's good. We should be happy that actually someone is coming out ahead. It's all right. And if I become the first person, like that unfortunate person, I'd be all puffed up, proud, I'm number one, I'm the greatest, I defeated everyone. But by the kindness of Krishna, we came out number two or number three or number four. So that makes us a little humble that I'm not the greatest person. That's good for us. Material philosophy is somehow or other to be the best. And spiritual philosophy is to serve the best. Different idea. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes. Actually, our whole philosophy is inferiority. Krishna is superior, and we're inferior. And in the material world, everyone wants to be superior. That's called Maya. So if we get out of Maya, we're happy.
Maharaj, there are two questions. I'm just translating it into English. One question is that one devotee is saying that we go to different organizations. He's been going on shopping, spiritual kind of shopping, going to different places. And wherever he mentions ISKCON, people say, okay, you go, you practice spiritual life, okay. But when he comes here and he hears the philosophy, he feels very strongly that we have a very critical attitude towards many organizations and many philosophies. So he feels a little hurt. So he wants to know what exactly Krishna's opinion is and how should we understand
exactly what?
How should we understand this? You know, we feel hurt and we don't like it. So
it seems that as you get to closer to ISKCON, ISKCON is critical of other philosophies,
yeah,
and that hurts.
Yeah.
Well, ISKCON is critical of other philosophies. There's so many philosophies. You know, you're good and you're good and we're all good. And but our philosophy is a little different. Krishna consciousness is good and so many other things are not good. There are so many bogus things, so many... I met someone in the airport a few days back. Very nice person. He invited me that... he showed me a card that I'm from such and such organization and this is our beautiful temple in Delhi and so on. And, oh, it's very nice, yes. And what is your philosophy? Oh, we worship such and such person. He's God. Vishnu Avatar. So I said, oh, really? Where is that in Shastra? He said, well, I forget. So we don't have such a great opinion about that. Where I said, well, we're worshipping Krishna as Bhagavan. And he's Bhagavan according to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, according to Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, all the acharyas. Someone else may or may not be Bhagavan, but Krishna is definitely Bhagavan. So we're engaging in the service of Krishna. So to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is standard. All the Shastras are presenting Krishna in that way. And then somebody else comes along and says, me too, I'm also Bhagavan, I'm also Bhagavan. Or actually, that person never said he was Bhagavan, but his followers say, oh, he's Bhagavan, he's Bhagavan. And then you ask, where is that in Shastra? Oh, it's somewhere. We're not like that. Just like someone, there are law books. So what's there in the law book? That's law. And then someone else comes along and says, oh, this is also a law. That's also a law. Really? Can you show me in the law book? It's there someplace. I made up that law. It's also a law. No, we can't accept that. It's not that everything is good. Just like food, there's good food, and then there's poison food. Food that's not at all good. We discriminate. You have to discriminate. Life intelligence means discrimination. It's not that that everything is fit for eating. You know, that's the difference between an adult and a child. For a child, everything is for eating. You know, he puts anything in his mouth. But an adult looks and says, well, no, marbles are not meant for eating. Rasgullas are meant for eating, but not marbles or so many things. That's called discrimination. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Devyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivanam. The Srimad Bhagavatam proposes to discriminate between truth and illusion. And the whole material world is the world of illusion, and in this material world, one of the propensities is the tendency to make mistakes, and another tendency is the tendency to cheat. And, you know, it's not a big secret, the world is full of cheaters. In business, there are so many cheaters. In love, there are so many cheaters. In almost any field, in education, there are so many people cheating. So it's not really surprising that in the spiritual field also, there'll be so many cheaters, so many charlatans. You know, someone who produces a little ash and he's got, you know? And if you watch the video, you can see how to do it. You can learn to do it too. Anyone here wants to be God? Anyone here would like to be God? We can train you how to do it. One of my godbrothers is a magician. You can go study under him and you can be God like that also. Do some magic tricks. You can produce some gold, some ash, some, you know, Shiva lingas can come out of your mouth and stuff like that. So this is the material world. It's full of cheating. It's full of cheating. So as in purchasing something or choosing whatever it is, you have to discriminate between the real thing and the bogus thing. So in the spiritual field also, you know, anytime you pass a 500 rupee note, person looks at it very carefully. So why, when we're thinking about our ultimate goal in life and how to achieve it, why should we not look very carefully? And why should we not be surprised if there are some counterfeit notes? And if there are counterfeit notes, why shouldn't we say so? Not that we keep silent and say, oh yeah, that's a nice note. You know, because we don't want to offend someone. No, it's our duty. We have to say, this is not a real note.
Hare Krishna. One more last question one devotee has. He says that we are very inspired by sannyasis in ISKCON, who have been in the renounced order, like yourself, for almost 40 years, more than 40 years. And we also are inspired to join Brahmachari Ashram. But we face a lot of opposition from parents. Two things, parents and many responsibilities like earning money and fulfilling certain obligations. And we feel it seems impossible to join. So how do we face this? You know, we have a desire, but we are not able to translate it into action. So how can we join the ashram?
Well, these things you have to consult with the local devotee. I think the local devotees here are experienced in these questions. Pretty much, I think everyone who's joined the ashram has a similar experience, that they joined over the objections of their parents and their superiors, and they had so many responsibilities. And somehow or other, you managed to join. Hmm? So you're America, it's easy. Nobody cares about anything you just join. But here, because you're responsible and cultured people, there are some obstacles. So that makes it a little more difficult. But so many examples are sitting here, how they've overcome those obstacles. You can also do that. Because this is not the high... But even consider, you know, that people do this for far less important causes. People give up their family for some national cause. Mahatma Gandhi practically neglected his family responsibilities to work for national independence. So, what was more important, to be the father of few children or the father of the country? He thought that to free India, the people of India, from the British rule, is more important than earning money as a barrister. So maybe our parents think he was wrong, that he should have stayed at home and made money and served his family. Then, you see? So there's the little general standard responsibility to serve my parents, to serve my home, to serve my family, to serve my community. And then there are more important causes that deserve our attention. And the most important cause is to get free from the cycle of birth and death, to get free from material existence, and to help others get free from material existence. Even the national movement is really a material movement. You know, now you have independence, the British aren't in charge, but everyone's still eating the same few chapatis or the same, you know, it hasn't changed. There's so many problems then, there's so many problems now. Just now we own the problems before somebody else owned the problems. It doesn't solve the ultimate questions of life. But here's the ultimate issue, the ultimate campaign, the ultimate goal, the ultimate project. So if we sacrifice some lesser responsibilities for the greater responsibilities, that's not wrong. If I sacrifice my greater responsibilities for some lesser thing, if I give up my parents to go, you know, drinking and smoking and woman, that's very bad. Because I have responsibilities and I'm neglecting them for something irresponsible. The greater thing should not be given up for the smaller thing. So here's the greatest responsibility: to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna. If it's my duty to serve my parents, how much more is it my duty to serve the Supreme Parent? Pitaham asya jagato, mata dhata pitamaha. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'm the father of the whole universe. I'm the mother, I'm the maintainer, I'm the grandfather of everything. So if we put aside the service of the small parents for the service of the greater parent, is that wrong? So of course it's a negotiation also, how to not needlessly antagonize or dissatisfy our family members. There's some art to it, and that you have to learn from our brahmacharis here. But philosophically, we should understand that we're not giving up our responsibilities, rather we're accepting the greater responsibility.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You spoke about the origin of Maya. You spoke about the origin of Maya and the reason of the origin.
And the?
Reason for the origin of Maya.
Reason for Maya, yes.
Yeah. So can you tell me how can we overcome the Maya?
How can we overcome the Maya? Yes, that's stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratya. Maya is very, almost impossible to overcome, because she's empowered by Krishna himself, by God himself. So she's very strong. Daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratya. Very difficult. But ma meveye prapadyante maya me tam tamantita. When we surrender to Krishna, at once we cross over Maya. Krishna is the controller of Maya. When we surrender to Krishna, then Maya is finished. Simple formula.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Why does a person fear God?
Why does a person fear God? I don't know, just like we fear, you know, a person with a gun or a cow with big horns. God's very powerful.
Actually,
and also, from another point of view, why do the criminals fear the police?
Shouldn't we actually love Him, love God?
Yes. We should love God. In the Bible it said, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning is to have some little to understand the power of God. God is very powerful. He can wipe us all out in a second. So, just like our parents, there's some fear there. That if I do the wrong thing, just like Krishna, he was stealing butter, so his mother came with a stick to beat him. So Krishna was fearing. So the children have some fear that if I misbehave, then my father may do something. He may hit me. He may punish me. There's some fear. So that fear is actually healthy, so that we learn some discipline. But on the other side, as we come to understand that although I have to be a little careful, but actually, if I'm not doing mischief, then I don't have anything to fear. And my parents are not actually out to get me. They're not looking to punish me. Actually, it's their love for me that's motivating them to punish me. And if I don't act in such a way that I need to be punished, then they won't act that way. They'll be very affectionate. They'll be very kind. Well, the beginning is to understand that due to my criminal activities, I'm in trouble with God. There's so much... Yes, God's material energy is very fearsome. And God himself is there as time. And he's killing everyone. So some fear can be there. But as we purify our hearts, then the fear becomes love. The fear becomes love.
All right, then what about the statement?
What about the statement? What about it?
Why do we actually fear? If we have something on destiny, or we just do our karma, why was the need to fear the results?
Why?
What's the need to fear the results? What is the need to fear the results then?
What is the need to fear the result? There's no need to fear the result. Everybody has a right to work. And you don't have to fear the result as long as you don't hold on to it. Ma paleshu kadachana. That result is not yours. Just suppose you're counting money in the bank. So you have a right to do that. Somebody can give you a lakh of rupees, 10 lakhs of rupees, a crore. And that's all right. You can accept all of that money. But now if you think, now he's given me 10 lakhs or a crore, it's mine. Now you have a lot to fear. Because it's not your money. You're just acting on behalf of the bank. You're a servant of the bank. And your job is to take in however much it is and give out however much it is. And you don't think at any time that this is mine. You just do the needful, you do your duty. So everybody has a right to do that. But we should understand that nothing belongs to me. It all belongs to Krishna. So I have a right to work, and Krishna gives a quota to everyone, this much you need for your livelihood. You need to eat, you need basic things. But actually it's all rented property. It's all on loan. It's not... this is mine, this is mine. The whole world is going around, this is mine, this is mine. They write their name on the building, they write their name on this, they write their name on that. It's all mine. No, it's Krishna's. And even I'm, you know, therefore the devotees, they go around writing Krishna's name on everything. Everything belongs to Krishna. Even I belong to Krishna. Then you'll never become entangled. Kurvan neveha karmani jajivashech chitam samaha. Evam tvayi nanyate toshti na karma lipite pare. In the Isha Upanishad it said that you can go on for thousands of years working and never become entangled. As long as you understand Ishava Shimidam Sarvam, everything belongs to Krishna. And I have a right to take my quota, but not more. Then you'll not be entangled. Then there's nothing to fear. The thief always has to be in fear. Police may catch up with him. Is that all right?
Shri Gurudev, how can we overcome false pride in spiritual life?
How can we overcome false pride in spiritual life? By association with those who are more advanced. For two reasons, just like this gentleman was saying, you know, that people come out ahead of us. So when we associate with the more advanced devotees, then we'll see. I'm thinking on something, but see how much more advanced this devotee is. So that's good for us, you know. I'm not the number one greatest. I still have so much to learn. And another reason why it's good is that those who are actually advanced are humble. So by association with those who are humble, we also become humble. Is that okay?
If one just chants 16 rounds daily, then can he overcome mind and material senses?
If one just chants 16 rounds daily, can he overcome Maya and the material senses? Yes. By chanting Hare Krishna attentively, you know, Maya will, this is the medicine. Well, follow four regulations, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, and chant 16 rounds daily.
I have one question. People say that you should always pray to God when you are in difficult phase, you have a lot of anxiety. God will come, God will help you out. He will try to make everything bad into good things. So I just want to know, like, how exactly?
Yes, generally people, when they're fortunate, sukritina, pious people, when they're in trouble, pray to God. Now I'm in difficulty, please help. Now I'm really in difficulty, please, please. And then when things are okay, thank you very much, and now on with the show.
Yeah, that's what I've seen.
So, but the Krishna conscious person, who is properly guided, he develops an attachment to Krishna. When things are going bad, then he depends on Krishna. And when things are going well, then he knows it's the grace of Krishna. So whether things are up or down, he's always thinking of Krishna. Is that all right? Well, we have some questions here. What is the meaning of complete dependence on Krishna? How to completely depend on Krishna? Actually, we're all dependent on Krishna. You can't even take your next breath without Krishna. Krishna is supplying the air, Krishna is supplying the power to the lungs. You can't even take your next breath without Krishna. So, like, you know, whether we understand or not understand, we're dependent on Krishna. It's just a question of realization. The self-realized person understands, yes, I'm dependent on Krishna for everything. Yes. How to increase our determination, sincerity, how to realize the urgency in our sadhana, especially chanting and book reading. Very good question. Again, it's by good association. If we associate with those who are determined, who are serious, then we, you know, it rubs off. we also start to become more serious, more determined. It's by discipline, by our own inner desire, and it's also by association. Even if we may not be very strong, when we're in the association of those who are strong, then we develop strength also. So much depends on association. For overcoming Maya, we have to surrender to Krishna. But when Maya attacks, specifically lust, then we lose desire to surrender to Krishna. Then we want to surrender to Rekha or whoever it is. We lose the desire to surrender to Krishna or approach devotees. Then what should we do? Therefore Krishna says, Tasmat tvam indriyanyado niyamya bharatarshapa. From the very beginning, we should curb down lust. Chanakya Pandit says that there are three things that one should attend to right away in the very beginning. Debt, fire, and disease. Debt, if you don't attend to it, becomes bigger debt. Fire, if you don't attend to it, becomes bigger fire. And disease, if you don't attend to it, some small disease becomes a big disease. So lust is like that also. If we attend to it in the very beginning by treating it with Krishna consciousness, then it's a small problem. Left untreated, it becomes a big problem. So from the very beginning, we shouldn't let lust spiral out of control. Niyamya. Niyamya means discipline. So what is that discipline? Chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the main thing. To be always in the association of Krishna, Yaha Krishna Taha Maya Nahi Adhikar. Where there's Krishna, then Maya can't be there. Please, no more flashes and all of that stuff. Apart from that, there are some practical guidelines in scripture about association with women specifically. If we associate very closely and freely with women, then naturally there will be the development of lusty desires and things may spin out of control. Therefore, the Vedic culture prescribes distance, actually. Distance doesn't mean, you know, one side of Bombay, all the men, the other side home. But it means that we shouldn't mix very in the Western style. Bombay has become rather Westernized. But in traditional Indian culture, still, the men and women don't freely hang out together and so many things. Why? Because that's, you know, like rubbing sticks together, you know, that's how you build a fire. So, we should be conservative in our association with women. Better to be, we have that expression, better to be safe than sorry.
Prabhuji, he like normally Vaishnavas or any religion you take?
Vaishnavas or any religion you take?
Any religion for that matter. We like to associate ourselves with the kind of people who have the same thinking or same guidelines, which is forward. And normally, if we take Vaishnavas, we'll do whatever is told by our guru and whatever adharma is going outside, Krishna will take care of it.
Mm.
I'm totally against that.
Okay.
I'm a devotee of Krishna as a friend. So I'm totally against him coming down, taking avatars because people
live in... You're completely against... Whoa. What is it you're completely against?
Krishna taking avatars again and again.
Krishna taking...
You're
against it. Well, if you're against it, does that mean he can't do it?
No, I'm trying to make a different point.
Okay.
The point I'm trying to make is, we don't try to curb adharma.
We don't try to do what?
Curb adharma. To
do what to adharma?
Curb. Stop.
One person.
We don't
try to curb adharma.
Adharma.
Okay.
We'll do this, we'll pray, we'll chant, and whatever outside has to be done will be done by Krishna. But I have total faith on the Gita and its power. That I know if I step out alone with faith in Him and I want to do something good, nobody can stop me. Because I know He's there with me. I'm not like it's pride or ego that I'm going to stop it. I know because He's with me. In today's world, adharma is way ahead than dharma. I'm not talking about doing good for the society. You can do good by giving food to the beggars or doing some social service. I'm talking about fighting adharma. All the corrupt politicians.
That's like, fighting adharma?
Yes.
Wait a second. Let me think about that a second. Giving food to beggars is how you fight a dharma.
Is not how you fight. That is social.
Not how you fight. No. Okay, now we're on the same page. Good.
So.
No, it's good. Yeah.
I'm more against what are we as Krishna conscious people doing to fight this adharma?
Yeah, good question. It's very good. It's not that. Vaishnav means that I'll sit in the temple and Krishna can come as an avatar and fight a dharma and I'll chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam and sleep in the temple. We don't find that Arjuna told Krishna that you fight the Kauravas, I'm going to take rest or go chant on my beads. He was active. Krishna had some program for fighting a dharma, and he told Arjuna, Nimitta Matra Bhava Savyasachi. I want you to be instrumental in my mission. So it's very good. We should all think that it's not that Krishna is supposed to do everything, and I'm supposed to do nothing, or Krishna is supposed to do everything. He can fight a dharma, and I'll watch television. But our business is to serve Krishna. So if Krishna's program is to fight a dharma, then I should help Krishna. I should be serving Krishna in fighting a dharma. Just like Ram had a program for fighting a dharma, so Hanuman assisted in that program. Ram could have done everything. He didn't need Hanuman. He's all powerful. But Hanuman volunteered to let me also render some service. So in that way, we should all desire to help Krishna in his mission. In this Kali Yuga, Krishna has descended as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for spreading this Yuga Dharma, this chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So all of us, we can spread this chanting. Ask people wherever you go, Jai Dako Tarika Krishna Panaj. Give them this instruction. Chant Hare Krishna. Give them this knowledge. Imam Dharmamritam, you know, this Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, no one becomes more dear to me than the person who spreads this message. So the temple has whole casefuls of Bhagavad Gitas. So take some. Take some, distribute. Meet people. Please, you're so fortunate. You've taken your birth in India. You're living in India. This is the heritage of India, and you've not understood the message of Krishna. Please read this Bhagavad Gita. Please chant Hare Krishna. Please become Krishna conscious. Then people may or may not. But now we're doing our duty. The way you get rid of a dharma is to establish dharma. Dharma samsthapanarthaya. So it's very, very good to have that spirit that not that Krishna will do everything, but I have to help. So just like Prabhupada, he went in his old age to America to spread Krishna consciousness. And by the grace of Krishna, it was such a successful thing. And Prabhupada used to say, I'm only one Indian. And by the grace of Krishna, my little efforts have had some success. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Parata Bhumite Manusha Janma Hidojar Janma Sartha Kari Kara Parupakar. That everyone who has taken his birth as a human being, Manusha Janma, in India, should make his life successful in Krishna consciousness and do Parupakar, spread it for the benefit of others. So Prabhupada used to say, I'm only one Indian, now if so many other Indians take it up, what will be the benefit? How much benefit can be bestowed on the world? Just if, suppose in this whole room, everyone takes it seriously. Someone takes this country, someone takes that country, someone takes this province, someone takes that province. Krishna consciousness can spread like wildfire. So it's very good. Keep that spirit. Thank you very much. Be a leader of this Krishna consciousness movement. People will be very indebted to you.
Haribol?
Yeah. So, I just came across this statement of Srila Prabhupada in the purport of the fourth verse of Nectar of Instruction, where he says that in all parts of the world there are different religious systems are established, and whenever a religious system turns into love of God, then it is perfect. Then it is perfect. So my question is, on the one side, we like, when we are preaching, we like to say, how our movement or how our religion is liberal by saying that we don't want to, or Prabhupada said, we don't want to turn like Christians into our religion, but we want them to be more sincere in their own religion. So, and on the other side, we say, this is the only way. This is the only way. By this, we are saying mostly that Lord Chaitanya said that this is the only way. This is the only way by chanting the holy names.
Yes.
So it seems to be.
It's not a question of my religion, your religion. Is it that only? This is the only way. Chanting of the holy name of God. The Muslims have a holy names of God. The Christians have holy names of God. Jews have holy names of God. Everyone has holy names of God. So if you don't like Hare Krishna, pick up something from your scripture, chant that. But if you think that you're going to practice yoga and realize God by meditation, that worked in Satya Yoga when people had 10,000 or 100,000 years to do it. If you think that just doing big yagyas, that was very good in Treta Yoga when people had the capability. If you think that you're going to do it by grand temple worship, that was in Dwapara Yuga. The present age, Kali Yuga, Kalo Tad Hari Kirtana, a glorification of God by chanting His holy names will be successful. It's not a sectarian thing. You don't like the holy name we chant? Chant some other holy name of God. God has so many. Or take this one. Is that all right? Okay, easy.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I would like to ask that there are many religions, right? So, those
not
who are...
Religion is one. Religion is not Christian, Hindu, this, that. Religion means your eternal function. Just like sugar. Its religion is to be sweet. If someone says this sugar is salty, that's not, there's irreligion. So, religion of the living being is to serve God. This other thing is superficial. I'm Hindu, I'm Christian, I'm this, I'm that. The real religion is one.
Okay, fine. So, any other, suppose a Christian is a great devotee of Jesus, and he is worshipping Jesus like anything.
Hmm.
Right? So, will he get liberated in that particular birth?
Huh?
Will that person get liberated?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
He just has to do it. But Jesus said that there are some commandments. So it's not just that I say I love Jesus, but I have to follow, just like if I say I love Krishna. Do you follow Krishna's instructions? Well, no, but I love Krishna. So love means follow also. Just like Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. Not that, you know, I love Jesus and I run a slaughterhouse. So these principles are universal. No intoxication. It's not that, well, if you're Hindu, intoxication isn't very good. But if you're Christian, it's fine. No illicit sex. Well, that's for the Christians, but for the Hindus, it's all right. No. These are universal religious principles. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. So we don't care what religion, you know, what label we put on ourselves, but we should follow the principles of religion, actually. That microphone's not working yet.
Maharaj, if a person is from different sampradaya,
if a person
is from different sampradaya,
a different sampradaya,
can he join the ISKCON movement and can take diksha from Guru Maharaj of ISKCON?
Yeah. You can come from any community. Sampradaya means community, spiritual community. So anyone can come from any spiritual community and join ISKCON. And we have many devotees. I was just in Tirupati, and many of our devotees come from the Ramanuja Sampradaya. It's in the south, especially Ramanuja Sampradaya is very strong. Similarly, here in Bombay, we have many devotees from the Pushti Marg Sampradaya. And different sampradayas. So, everyone is welcome.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, why is it that, first of all, people don't take any initiative in the spiritual life? They don't come forward, means they have attachment for Krishna, but they are like, they keep it inside. They don't show it outside.
The people have attachment to Krishna.
Yeah, they keep inside only. They don't show, like, they don't chant and something. They don't believe in chanting. They just say, okay, I have
attachment to Krishna, but I don't chant. I don't serve the deity. I don't give any contribution to Krishna, but I'm very attached to Krishna.
But, yeah, but people don't take the initiative, and then too, if someone takes the initiative, then there are thousands of people to oppose him. That why are you doing so? What will you get by doing so and all that? So how can you overcome all such people?
That's a separate question, huh?
Yeah.
So the first question is that, you know, it's easy to give lip service that I love Krishna. Yes, yes, I love Krishna. But it's like, you know, you come home at the end of the day and you're looking for your, ready for your meal, and your wife comes and you say, oh, is dinner ready? And she says, I love you so much. Love means service. It doesn't mean I'm so attached to you, I love you. It means I do something for you. So if I love Krishna, then I'll want to serve Krishna. And if I want to serve Krishna, then Maya has so many agents. What are you doing that for? Why are you wasting your time serving Krishna? What about me? What about us? Or what about this or that or the other thing? Yeah, that's called Maya. So, our business is to reject Maya and cultivate Krishna consciousness. Is that all right?
Krishna Maharaj, how to maintain a good relationship with the Vaishnavas. And sometimes we have ego problems with the Vaishnavas.
How to maintain a good relationship with Vaishnavas.
Sometimes we have ego problems with them.
Sometimes we
have ego problems with them. Ego problems.
Ego problems.
How to overcome the propensity.
Rupa Goswami recommends that there are six ways to develop nice, loving relationships with Vaishnavas. The first is dadati. Give them something. Everyone likes to get some gift. You can cultivate that, but to give something to the devotees. Maybe big thing or small thing, could be some little anything. Give something. Just like in the material world, how do you make a relationship with someone? You give, you know, you find something they like, here, this is for you. Well, really? So you try to please the Vaishnavas by giving them something. It doesn't have to be, they say it's the thought that counts. Not that you have to go broke spending money on the Vaishnavas. You give some small thing. And the second thing is pratigrinati. When they give you something, then accept that. To receive something as a gift. Just the devotees are giving something. Even some flower, mahaprasadam, or they're giving some book or something. So to give something, give and take, give and take. Dadati pratigrinati. And guhyam akhyati prichchati. To reveal your mind to someone. That creates an intimate relationship. You come to me and say, you know, I was thinking about this and this and this. What do you think? I don't know who to... I'm not telling anyone, but I thought I'd talk to you. Then that creates an intimate relationship. And guhyam akhyati, to inquire from the Vaishnavas. So what's going on with you? You're everything is all right? Any problem is there? Or anything? Or we inquire from them about Krishna. We tell them something that we heard about Krishna. We inquire from them something about Krishna. That's bodhyanta parasparam, enlightening one another about Krishna. So that exchange of ideas or exchange of confidential knowledge, either something confidential, knowledge about Krishna or about our own life in Krishna consciousness, that creates closeness among the devotees. And bhungte bhojayate chaiva. Everyone likes to get something nice to eat. So give some prasadam to the devotees. Distribute prasadam. Something, give. Oh, I have some prasadam for you. Devotees will be very happy. And when you, some Vaishnava is giving prasadam, then accept. That's also to be on the other side, the receiving side. So these are all give and take relationships. To give a gift, to receive a gift, to reveal your mind, to hear while a devotee reveals his mind, and to give some prasadam, some food, and to accept sadvidham priti lakshana. These are ways to develop loving relationships. And if you develop these loving relationships, then ego doesn't get the chance to crop up. And if sometimes, because of our past conditioning, ego does come up, oh, that's ego. If it comes up in us, and to know, oh, that's my false ego. And if it comes up in someone else, oh, that's just his false ego. It's not the real person. If someone is influenced by false ego, so that's just the false ego. But the person is nice, just the false ego is a little disruptive. But otherwise, because he's serving Krishna, he's a good person. That means we have to be a little tolerant also. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How to overcome hypocrisy on the path of
how to overcome
hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. Wow, that's a big question. In ourselves or around us? In ourselves, yeah, that's the hardest one. Well, we overcome hypocrisy by being genuine. Hypocrite means that he's putting on a show of one thing, but he's really about something else. So we have to become genuine, and for that we have to purify the heart. So many things are there as coverings to the heart. We'll serve Krishna, and then we'll do a little service, and then we'll want to show the world, I'm serving Krishna, I'm so great, I'm this, I'm that. And maybe we'll, in so many ways, cheat. We'll make a show of one thing, but really, the expression is drinking water underwater while taking a bath on a fast day. Mm-hmm. We've taken a vow that today is a fast day, I'll not even drink water. And then while taking bath underwater, we'll drink water. So, these things we overcome by cultivating the real thing. The false thing is driven out by the real thing. The darkness is driven out by the sunlight. I'll look at all these questions. Okay, let's take a few more.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Okay.
I am interested into getting information.
Well, first we need to get a fix on your location. Where are you here? Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I want to get information about Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga.
Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Very good. Bhakti Yoga means pure devotional service to Krishna. Karma means material activity, ordinary material work for sense enjoyment. And Jnana means mental speculation, figure things out. When karma comes in touch with bhakti, when it gets a coating of bhakti on it, it becomes karma yoga. Yoga means plus. When you add Krishna, the karma becomes karma yoga. When you add Krishna, the jnana becomes jnana yoga. And when it comes to pure Krishna consciousness, that's bhakti yoga. Is that all right?
How we will improve our bhakti yoga means to improve our life in this Kali Yoga? Means
how do we improve bhakti yoga?
Means how it will helpful to us. Means how it will, it should be improved by us. Means what type of karma we should do. Means
what kind of karma we should do. Anukul karma. Anukul means whatever is favorable for the service of Krishna that we should do. Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable for the service of Krishna, that karma we should do. And whatever is unfavorable, that karma we should reject. And how do we know what's favorable and unfavorable? From the Shastras, from books like Bhagavad Gita as it is, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the sadhus, the devotees, and from the spiritual master. Is that all right? Shall I take a written question? Let's see what else is here. Oh, it starts here. Okay. It is said that when we do something good, we are not the doer. We are just the instrument in the hand of Krishna. But when we do something wrong, we blame our karmas and we become the doer. And if we are the doer in the first case, then why should also we not take, why should we also take no credit in the second case? If we are not the doer, then we should not be responsible for any wrong deeds. Okay, so we see where that goes. Yes, actually I'm not the doer. Krishna is doing everything. And I'm cooperating. I'm agreeing, all right. I agree to be instrumental for you. So when we do something good, it means Krishna conscious. We agree. Krishna, you want to do this, I'll cooperate with you. And on the other side, Maya, you want to do this, I'll cooperate with you. In either case, we're a tool. We're manipulated. Either we're manipulated by Krishna or we're manipulated by Maya. So, in one sense, you can say we're not the doer. So, when I do something good, it's Krishna that takes the credit. When I do something foolish, then Maya can take the credit. But when the Krishna credit is there, the person who cooperates with Krishna also gets the credit. Just like in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna actually was the one who killed everyone. He showed in the Virat Rupa that actually Bhishma, Drona, Jayadratha, they're all killed by me in the form of time. But you can become my instrument. Nimitta matram. That means you can also share in the credit. Krishna likes to spread the credit around among his devotees. So you become famous as the hero of Kurukshetra by serving my will. Act as my instrument. Krishna likes to make his devotees famous, just like a father. Sometimes he gives the credit to his son, that you take the credit for this work. So, also when we do something foolish, then it's Maya, actually, but we cooperated, so we become known as playthings in the hand of Maya. We become known as playthings, because we've surrendered to Maya. And Maya, Krishna deals with his servants by freeing them from material existence, and Maya deals with her servants by keeping them in material existence. She deals with her servants by kicking them with threefold miseries. So in that way, we're just servants, but you have a choice where to serve. Serve Krishna or serve Maya. That much is up to us. If one has to go for a job at the place where there's no association of devotees, how to remain Krishna conscious and enthusiastic? Well, first thing is this have to. We may not have to go to a place where there are no devotees. If possible, we should go to a place where there are devotees. I know many people, they've gone to one school, not another, or one job, not another, because in the one place there were devotees, in the other place there were no devotees. Chanakya Pandit says one should never go any place where there's no river, no doctor, and no friend. No temple and no friend. You know, people are going here and there, but if there's no river there, then not a very good place to go. If there's no doctor there, it's not a very good place to go. If there's no temple there, then it's not a very good place. And if you have no friends there, then it's another useless kind of place. So, if there's no Krishna consciousness, then why go there? We try to avoid. Better to go to the place where there are devotees. Now, sometimes, all right, so everyone has to make a living, and it may not be that job offers are coming from the places where the devotees have their jobs. So then I sometimes have to take something this way, that way. So then maintain the touch of devotees as far as possible, Suppose if you're working in some job, some other side of us, still come to the temple, associate with the devotees, here, either on the internet or from CDs or one way or another, read the books and stay in the association of Krishna by following the same practices that the devotees are following. There's also another way. If there are no devotees, make some devotees. Prabhupada came to America, he was the only devotee, but then he made some more devotees. So that's also, you know, if you go to work, they'll preach to you. They'll talk to you about what interests them. They'll talk about cricket, they'll talk about this, that. So if they're doing it, you can do it. If they can talk to you about this nonsense that you're not interested in, you can talk to them about what they're not interested in. And it may turn out that they'll also become interested. So make devotees. Actually, the devotees are there. They just, you know, you have to scratch the surface a little bit. It's like cream. The cream is there in the milk. You just have to let it come to the top. Or the ghee is there in yogurt. You just have to churn it. Or fire is there in wood. You just have to bring it out. So Krishna consciousness is there in the heart of everyone. And make the attempt and you'll see. You can make others. As someone made you Krishna conscious, it's like electricity. It travels from one person to the next. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, the other day, one of my friends was asking me. He said that Krishna... Sorry.
My friend was asking me,
he made a statement. He said that Krishna's got 16,000 wives.
Krishna what?
Krishna's got 16,000 wives.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had so many affairs.
And what?
He's got so many affairs.
Ah.
So why can't I have one? And
why can't I have one?
Yeah, he asked me. And of course, Krishna protecting his wives and Krishna not having lusty desires doesn't really appeal to people. They feel, they cannot relate to it. So how can we answer them in a way?
First of all, you're contradictory. The person is saying Krishna has 16,000 wives, he had so many love affairs, and why can't I have one?
Yeah.
And then you're saying, on the other hand, that these affairs don't appeal to
me. No. I'm saying a devotee who's answering him. He might say, I've heard devotees who answer such questions saying that, no, Krishna gives protection to all his wives and Krishna doesn't have lusty desires like us.
Even if you think Krishna has lusty desires like us, he has unlimited lusty desires.
Yeah.
God is unlimited, so his desires are unlimited.
Yeah.
Our desires, we're small, so we only have small desires. Mm-hmm. So even if you take it that Krishna has desires, his lusty desires are unlimited.
Yeah.
That means they're not, it's in a different class altogether.
But Maharaj, how can we answer them in a way? Which?
You have lusty desires.
Yeah.
So where do those lusty desires come from? They must be there in the Supreme. Just like the little drop of water, it has hydrogen, oxygen. It must be there in the ocean. But in the ocean, it's unlimited. And here it's limited. So we have some desires. We would like to be with a young girl or whatever. Young girls want to be with a young boy. Why? Because it's there in God. But the thing is, that here in the material world, it's exhibited in a perverted form. Actually, it's exploitation. That the young man wants to exploit the young woman, the young woman is also thinking how to exploit the young man. And it's a mutual exploitation society. He says, I love you so much. But really what it means is, I want to gratify my senses with your help. And she says, I love you so much. But really it means, well, okay, let's make a deal. So it's not actual love, it's a kind of perverted reflection of actual love. But the real thing is there in Krishna, in pure form. In pure form. The same thing that appears impure in our case is pure when it's touched by Krishna. Because Krishna, he's described the pap of the dham, asnaviram shuddham, a pap of the dham, pavitram paramam bhavan. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is supremely pure. He's dancing with gopis and he's completely pure? Yes. How is that? Just like the sun is absorbing urine. People pass urine in the fields, and how does that urine disappear? The sun absorbs it. So now does the sun become septic? No. Rather, the place becomes antiseptic because it's touched by the sun. So the same thing that seems, that is impure on the material platform, as soon as you bring Krishna, it's pure. As soon as you bring Krishna, it's pure. So Krishna's married life, and because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have trouble with one wife. Krishna married 16,108. It's not a problem. If he married 16 million, it would still only, he'd only be working at, you know, partial capacity. He can marry unlimited numbers, and there's no difficulty for him. Everything, these pastimes of Krishna were worshipped by Sukadeva Goswami. He's narrating Srimad Bhagavatam. Who's Sukadeva Goswami? He's so pure. He was a 16-year-old boy, but because he was an avadhuta, he was, you know, a sadhu, so he was walking around naked. And while he was walking, he passed by some young girls who were bathing. But bathing means they had no clothes on. So, young girls bathing, and he was a young man. He came by, but they looked at him, they didn't even bother to put their clothes on. Because they saw from his face that there's no material thought in this person. Just like a child. You know, the women dress or undress in the presence of the little children. They don't think, oh, no. Because the children have no lusty desires. They have no lusty desires. They don't even see the difference. Just like Prabhupada told the story that one of his disciples had a little daughter. The daughter asked the father, Daddy, when you were my age, were you a boy or a girl? So the girls looked at Sukadeva Goswami and they knew that he doesn't see any difference. There's no material consideration. So that Sukadeva Goswami, he's the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's talking about the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So there couldn't have been any material interest there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was such a strict sannyasi that women were advised if they wanted to offer their respects, they should offer their respects from way over there, from a distance. He never had any close association. He was very strict about one of his associates who was in the renounced order happened to glance lustily at a young woman. He kicked him out. Very strict about the renounced order. But that same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is relishing the activities of Krishna and the gopis. So how can these activities be like the ordinary material activities? You see, it's in a completely different... But people, because they're not educated in the science of Krishna, they mistake one thing for another.
Thanks a lot, Maharaj.
Thank you. Should we answer a few more questions or should we stop? Tell me, who's in charge? What should I do? Two or three more. Okay.
Krishna Maharaj?
Mm-hmm.
Often at times when we accept Krishna consciousness, we become speculative at times, trying to judge the activities of Krishna. With the result, we get more diverted. How should we be conscious that Krishna is the Supreme Personality so that we can execute more of Krishna consciousness and be fearful of what we are doing so that our goal of life is not lost? Because it happens like many a times the mind tricks us and we become more fallen.
We become more fallen.
I mean, and this is, I mean, the, because of the result of the conditioning on the mind. So how should we be serious and not judge the activities? Because I often face this problem, and with the result, there is always a negative feeling about the activities of Krishna or in general. I mean, there is no sincere application to devotion service and a lot of judgment which happens from our side.
Yes, we should keep things simple. You know, the mind says, why are you keeping things simple? Let's make things complicated. You know, why keep it simple? We could make it three times as complicated. Wouldn't that be better? So Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. It's actually a very simple thing. We hear from Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam. We understand by inquiring from the devotees, from the spiritual master. And we can just take it as it is. But the mind says, no, that's not good enough. We could look at it this way, we could look at it that way, we could, this means this, that means that, this couldn't be possible, this must be like that. So the best thing is to tell the mind, get lost. You know, I don't need your suggestions from the world of mental speculation. Concocting. We don't need the help of, we don't need this input from the mind, you know. It's like the babble of sea waves, you know? The sea waves come and... Yes, the mind is always... You know, it's like, you know, like a kid that never stops talking. So, the best thing for the agitated and agitating mind is this Maha Mantra. Because to chant Hare Krishna, you don't have to think anything. You know, we're so busy thinking that we can't even think straight. Huh? Mind has always got to have something to say. So, the mind becomes our enemy because it's always suggesting something foolish. So therefore, the Bhagavad Gita says that the mind can be our best friend or the mind can be the worst enemy. One should elevate oneself by the mind and not degrade oneself. The mind can be the friend or the enemy. How's that? When the mind is controlled, it's the best friend. And anatmanastu shatrutve varte dhatmaiva shatrutva. When the mind is uncontrolled, then it's the enemy. So, how to control this mind, which is always, you know, like a crazy man? By this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No special tricks, no. Just chant Hare Krishna, hear this transcendental vibration, and purify the mind. And for the intelligence also, because the intelligence says, well, listen, I'm intelligent, I want something. We have so many books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, to fully absorb our intelligence, fully engage our intelligence. Is that all right?
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for your invaluable time and wonderful association. I wanted to ask, is it justified if we commit sinful activities to spread Krishna consciousness?
Of course, spreading Krishna consciousness means it's not sinful. But there's no need to do anything dishonest to spread Krishna consciousness. No need to do anything dishonest. Of course, sometimes we do something illegal to spread Krishna consciousness. Just as we go to countries where Krishna consciousness is banned. And even to talk about Krishna is against the law. To spread Krishna consciousness is illegal. So we may sometimes transgress the law for a higher purpose. But the best thing is suttovritti, to be honest in one's occupation, to be yesham trantagadam papam. Krishna consciousness is possible when one has reached the end of sinful activities. So there's no need to be sinful for the service of Krishna.
Maharaj, the thing is, I'm doing a base class and I had actually lied in my office that I have to take some treatment for 6 months because, you know, I'm not feeling well. So every Saturdays and Sundays I have to go because Sundays also we go. So it's okay, no? I mean...
Yeah. You're taking some treatment.
I just lied actually to come to the base class.
Which what?
Base class. There's a base class. Bhakti Shastri course.
Yeah, okay.
It's a Bhakti Shastri course. So for that also I've just lied that, you know, I've just lied to the India office, so that's okay, no?
To attend the Bhakti Shastri course you had to lie at the office. That's transcendental lying. It's lying for the absolute truth. But we shouldn't develop a fondness for, you know, make our whole way of life dishonest. But if sometimes we have to do something for the service of Krishna like that, that's all right. Should we take one last question? What is that last question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, if not even a blade of grass moves without Krishna's desire, then is the forthcoming Kali Yuga or the degradation of all the pious activities, dharma, is it Krishna's desire or?
Yes. Kali Yuga is also Krishna's arrangement. Just as the prison is also the government's arrangement. And the solitary confinement, the worst part of prison, that's also the government's arrangement. So this is part of Krishna's arrangement, the prison house. But the government doesn't desire that people stay in prison. And Krishna doesn't desire that people remain stuck in the material world. So he makes Kali Yuga, it has to be there, but he also gives the Sankirtan movement by which people can be freed from the effects of Kali Yuga. It's said that the people who know the essence of things actually worship Kali Yuga. Why? Because simply by Krishna Kirtan, people can become Kalo Sankirtakeshava. They can attain perfection by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Is that okay?
But after 10,000 years, there is...
Then after 10,000 years, Kirtan movement is finished. Then it's only degradation. Why? Because that's what people want. They want to be degraded. It's like some prisoners. Why are they in prison? They want to be criminals. They're offered the opportunity. We'll send you to college. The same government that sent you to prison would more happily send them to college. But they're insisting, no. Why should I go to college? Let me rob a bank. Then go to prison. The material world is here, in one sense, not because Krishna wants it, but because we want it. So, Kali Yuga couldn't go on without Krishna's sanction. But we don't have to stay. We don't have to stay to watch it. We should all get out before the time comes and Kali Yuga becomes impossible. Okay? And that's possible by simply by Kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Hare Hare.